for them. I know they desire prayers. Friends, if you have your Bibles with you today, turn with us to the Gospel of St. Matthew. The Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 19. The Lord had laid a brief message upon our heart to share with you today that is entitled, He's Up to Something. He's Up to Something. Have you ever made that statement before, friends, saying that he or she is up to something? You can just tell that they're up to something. There's something that has impressed you at one time in your life that they're up to something. Now, a lot of times, you that have raised children and those of you who have children, you will sometimes see them and say, well, they're being too quiet. They're up to something. A lot of times when we say that they're up to something, we're thinking they're up to something of no good. Well, dear friends, we feel led by the Lord to share with you today a message that He is up to something. And praise His glorious name. He is up to something good. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is up to something today. We've heard testimony. We've listened to songs being sung. We've heard prayer requests. We've experienced praises today. The Lord is up to something. Whether you be saint or sinner, you can rest assured today, dear friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ is up to something in your life. You may be here today. You may be despondent to the Holy Spirit. You may be here today and you have shut the door on the Lord. Well, I can tell you today on the authority of His living, breathing, inerrant, precious word that He's knocking. That He's knocking today. The Lord is up to something in your life and in my life. When we looked here at the Word of God and the Holy Spirit led us to Matthew chapter 19, dear friends, for just the next few moments, let us focus primarily on verses 23 down through verse 26 of the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 19. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When His disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and saith unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Friends, I want you to understand something today. The setting here was a setting that was very hard and somewhat difficult. When you get there to Matthew 19, you will find there that there was a young man who is known by one and all as the rich young ruler. He had come to Jesus Christ and inquired of Him on how to be saved. And as Jesus began that dialogue with this young man, we began to understand when we read this text that this young man had something that seemed to be his primary Lord. He was his riches. He was his wealth. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus said for him to take it and give it to the poor and to take up his cross and to follow Him. But the Bible also tells us that this young man was very grieved, for his riches was great, and he left saddened. Oh, dear friends, when the Holy Spirit spoke to our heart about this message, he began to reveal to us and to show us in this setting here how that so many that was in the midst that day was very confused, because we see how that this young man who had all this opportunity and all this potential had squandered it away. It was very troubling. And I say that to say this, dear friends. We're very troubled today with the situations in the world that's around us. We're very troubled about the lives of so many that have fallen by the wayside. We're troubled with the conditions that many are living in today. But I tell you today, on the authority of God's word, our Lord is up to something. You say, Brother Lynn, what's he up to? He's up to changing lives and to transforming situations and making you and I to be, praise God, the best that we possibly can be. I believe, dear friends, that God is not just working in us and through us, but he's working about us. He's given us opportunity today to minister as never before. He's given us a platform to praise his glorious name in the face of opposition, in the face of criticism. God is blessing us. You know, dear friends, the last words of a dying church is this: we've never done it like that before. I tell you today, when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this old sinful, old hateful world, he shook it to its very core. He changed things as never before. And he today, as he was yesterday, and as he will be forevermore, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. Oh, dear friends, when we begin to look at this word in which we read, the Holy Spirit began to remind me and remind our heart that the Lord, he was up to something. Jesus said that it was far easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. Jesus was not saying that the wealth was bad. What Jesus was saying was that this young man, like so many, have made the wealth their God. Jesus Christ must be first and foremost in our lives. Jesus Christ is and forever will be the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was up to something here. Matthew 19, you say, Brother Lynn, what was he up to? He was up to instilling in his disciples a truth, something that they could count on. Notice there in this text that we read, when we got to the passage that says that Jesus said, "Verily, I say unto you," that word "verily" in the Greek has to do with trustworthy. What Jesus is saying, dear friends, you can count on this. You can be assured of this, that I must forever will be first in your life. We're to lay aside the things of the world. We're to take up our cross and follow him, for it is through him and by him we have joy, we have hope, we have peace in our heart. That young man left with a troubled heart. This young man left depressed. This young man left saddened. There'll be many today that will depart houses of prayer all around the land, saddened, despondent. You say, "Well, brother, what's the Lord up to?" You know what the Lord is up to in many of our lives? Blessing us and intriguing us and compelling us to pray and understand the message that he has for us all. God is working in your life. He's working in our lives to bring glory and praise and grow the kingdom. But you see, dear friends, we let circumstances and situations get in the way. We let things of life compound upon us to suppress us, to hinder us, and to hurt us from doing what it is that God would have us to do. The Holy Spirit would have us today to think outside the box and to do things in accordance to the will of God. The disciples, when they seen that young man, they seen him coming in his splendor. He said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus began to expound to him the commandments. And the young man said, I've kept all of them from my youth. You see, in his mind, he was a shoo-in. He wanted a pat on the back and an attaboy. But Jesus said, for him to take his wealth, his goods, and give to the poor, and to take up his cross, and to follow him, because Jesus seen not just the outward, but Jesus seen the inward. And Jesus had a desire to be first in the life of this young man. Just as Jesus has a desire to be first in your life and in my life. Many things today we make as God. You say, what, Brother Lee? Things that we desire, the things that's on our minds and on our heart at this very moment in time, the things that seem to compel us and to draw us. We all have things that lure us. We all have things we enjoy. The Lord is not saying that these are bad, but what Jesus is saying, I must be first. The Lord's up to something. The Lord's up to something in our lives today. Let us not fail to see that the Lord is up to something. Dear friends, when you look at the Word of God, Jesus would tell those in his midst just prior to this event. In Matthew 16, in verse 26, he said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, I tell you today, dear friends, so many are falling by the wayside because of the lust of the flesh. And I ask you again, the Lord is up. The Lord is up. You say, well, Brother Lynn, I don't see it in that passage. I don't see it. It's there. It's there. Oh, it's there. Because you see, those disciples are like you and I in the day and time in which it is that we live. We have doubts. We have fear and confusion descends upon us all in the of that pain, in the midst of that heartache, in the midst of that sadness. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was up to something. The rich young man left, sorrowful. He left, unwilling. Look at verse 25. When his disciples heard, they heard it. They were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? For in their mind, they thought, if this guy ain't getting in, nobody's getting in. He looks it. He acts it. He speaks it. He's got to be right. Listen to what Christ said. Jesus was up to something. In the midst of their confusion, in the midst of their amazement, in the midst of the situation that had unfolded before them, remember, Jesus said verily, He said to trust. What Jesus wants them to see is what He wants us to see in the day and time in which it is that we live. The Lord does something. He wants to show us. He wants to reveal to us His might and His power. Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. What's the Lord up to today? The Lord is up to this, my friends, to let us know that all things are possible through Him. The Lord's up to something. During Vacation Bible School, the Lord was up to something. Through these prayer requests that we see scribbled on these little cards in that little wooden box just across the drive, the Lord is up to something. You may have came in here today and you thought more about lunch than you have prayer, but I want you to understand something. The Lord is up to something. The Lord wants to use you. He wants to compel you. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you to be the very best you possibly can be. What did Jesus say? With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And Jesus spoke in this compassionate manner to instill in His disciples, I'm working in you. I'm up to something in your life so that you can be the very best you possibly can be. You see, dear friends, we sit around like Baptist fat cats a lot of times. We sit around twiddling our thumbs and we think the Lord's just sitting up there looking down, wagging His head. But listen, God's up to something. God's up to something. People says, well, I tossed and turned all night. It must be my conscience bothering me. Dear friends, it wasn't your conscience bothering me. It's the Holy Spirit knocking at that door. God's up to something. He's up to something. You say, how do you know, Brother Lynn? I can see it in the faces of those that the Holy Spirit are working through. Attentive ears. Questions asked. Stirring of the heart. Emotions pouring out. In young people and in people's lives that you never even fathomed that it would occur. The Lord is up to something. You see, dear friends, the Lord was at work before you ever opened your eyes this morning. The Lord's up to something. The Lord wants to bless. He wants to help. He wants to ignite. He wants to thrive in our lives. Yes, that young man left sudden. He left in a terrible state. And the disciples was confused. They were they lacked understanding. And what the Lord Jesus Christ had the desire to let them know that through Him all things are possible. You may have someone in your life. You may have somebody that you're praying for that you've just about given up on. Rest assured this, dear friends, the Lord is up to something. If it ain't in their life, it may be in your life. That's why that the Apostle Paul said, I've planted and Apollos watered, and praise be to God, the Lord gave the increase. The Lord was up to something. Up to something. There's things in your life, there's things in my life that's too big and impossible for me. But what Jesus wants them to understand, and what Jesus wants us to understand, that there is nothing impossible for Him. You say, well, why is that so important? Why is that so important? Why does that mean so much? Why is the Lord at work like He is? He loves. He cares. He wants the very best for us all. And I was studying, I was looking at that. All the many things throughout the Scriptures that the Lord worked and revealed mightily. And then this passage of Scripture came to my heart by way of the Holy Spirit. You remember when Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, listen. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the thing which God hath prepared for them that love Him. God's up to something. He's up to give. He's up to bless. He's up to help. Praise His name. He loves us. How He's up to something is He wants to show us. You say, well, I'd like to take them by the nape of the neck and just slap them with that Bible. Well, dear friends, I've talked to some before. I not only would like to slap them with it, I'd like to feed it to them. But you know how you're going to get them? Love. Love. Now, you can criticize. You can scrutinize. You can homogenize. You can do all those things. But listen, if it ain't done in love, it's not going to bear no fruit. People says, well, seeing people saved is great. Yes, it is. It's the most wonderful thing. Seeing lives change is good. Oh, it is the most wonderful thing. But it don't come by anything you've done. It ain't coming by anything I've done. It's coming by all things that He done. Through the love of those that He uses. You see, if those disciples could have caught that young man before he got to the edge of the road, say, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. He don't know what he's talking about. You're good. You're good. If they could have saved him, they would have saved him. Heck fire, if you could save your neighbor or your family members, you'd save them. But that's impossible for you. Jesus was doing a work in them to have them to understand that it may be impossible for you, but nothing's impossible for me. Now, it might have surprised them that that young man departed as he did, but it didn't surprise Jesus. Jesus knew, just as He knows today. You say, well, Brother Lynn, do rich people go to heaven? Yes, they do. Rich, poor, all points in between. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believe that He lived, died, and crucified, and rose on that third appointed day, and you accept Him in your heart, you're saved. A man by the name of Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. A man by the name of Zacchaeus was a very rich man. The little children called him a wee little man who scampered up that sycamore tree. For the Lord he wanted to see. But as the Savior passed that way, Jesus looked up in that tree. He said, Zacchaeus, come down, because I'm going to your house today. You know what he did? That wealth was his God. But when he climbed up in that tree, and the Lord's word pricked that heart, that wealth that meant so much had subsided. And Jesus became first and foremost in his life. And if you read on down to verse 10 of chapter 19, you will find that passage that we quoted just a little while ago, that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. See, the message for the disciples was not that the rich could not be saved. It wasn't that the powerful couldn't be saved. He was doing a work in their lives so that they would understand. God's doing work in our lives so that they would understand. You may have warmed a pew for many years. You may have walked that Christian walk for many years, but listen, God is still up to something in your life. He's still up to something. I'm glad He's still working on me. I got a long way to go, don't you? But praise God, Bob, I know where I'm going. That's what Jesus wanted His disciples to know. He didn't want them to leave sad, and He wanted them to leave joyful. God wants us to leave joyful today. But He also wants us to understand that He's up to something. He's up to something good. To grow you, to nurture you, to use you for His glory, His honor, His praise. When I think about that, I thought about these young lives this past week from Vacation Bible School. And I thought, well, Lord, I can't pinpoint. You know something? God used the bus. He used the kitchen. He used the guides. He used the songs. He used the leadership. He used the love. He used everything at His disposal to make a difference in these lives. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was up to something before we ever entered the parking lot. He was up to something. Now, it took them disciples a while to grasp that. And I'm going to tell you, dear friends, sometimes it's taken us a long time to grasp it. But He's up to something. What He's up to, praise His name, is good. Let's stand to our feet.